we turn in our Bibles to the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. It's a long reading, but we'll read the whole chapter and then I'll share with you a few thoughts from it. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle? In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not Why build ye not an house of cedar? And therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and hast cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before me. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all those words, and according to all the vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this we hear a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation is on earth, what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee, for thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And thou, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy word be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee, for thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. D.F. Payne, who was a senior lecturer in Semitic studies at Queen's University, Belfast, has said that this passage is in many ways the most important in the books of Samuel. David proposes to build the Lord a house. The Lord responds, verses 13 and 16, by saying that he will build David a house. David proposes to build the Lord an enduring house, one of cedar, not in curtains, not a tabernacle. But the Lord proposes an enduring kingdom. David had in mind something good for God. God had in mind something better for man. And he uses this opportunity to unveil something more of his purpose. In verse number 12, he says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom. Now this is reminiscent of a promise way back in the time of Adam after the fall, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thy seed, the serpent's seed, and the seed of a woman. He shall bruise his heel, and he shall bruise thy head. And it's reminiscent also of the promises, for example, in Genesis chapter 17 to Abraham, where the Lord says he will make his covenant with Abraham and his seed for an everlasting covenant. And remember what Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 16, that he says, not seed as of many, but seed as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the reason why Paul says that this is such an important passage is that it is fundamentally messianic in character. It is pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And earlier in our time of worship and remembrance, our brother David took us to verse number, he took us to the Hebrews quotation from verse number 14, where David is promised that God would be to him, the seed, a father, and he would be to God a son. And David quoted to us from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Remember, the Lord Jesus had been given a name that was more excellent than that of the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And you see that coming out in our passage. Now the verse in its entirety applied immediately, and could only apply, because it talks about if he said, I will chastise him with the stripes of men, could only apply to Solomon. But in its ultimate, it was looking forward in that first section about Father and Son to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so much then for the purposes of God in our passage. When Alan rang me up and asked me to share with you, he told me that you had been looking at the character of David. So I want to see, in the time that remains to us, what we can learn about the character of David from this passage. And to help us do that, I've developed a little acronym, CHERISH. You know, as in the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus, Thee Will I Cherish, CHERISH. And each one of those letters stands for something in this passage that we can learn, to our profit, I hope, of the character of David. Now, C stands for consultation. David was a consultative king. He could have said, I'm the king, I don't need to talk to anyone, I will jolly well do as I please, let's start work on the house. But he talks to a God-fearing fellow believer, Nathan the prophet. And that's very important, because it shows, and we'll jump to this in a moment, something of the humility of the man. And the Lord would have us to be like that too. In Galatians, we're reminded that part of what we're supposed to be doing is to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ, chapter 6, verse 2. And in the Old Testament, Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is the people fall, but in the multitude of counsellors there is safety or wisdom. You see, the Lord doesn't intend believers to be spiritual islands, forsake not the assembling of themselves together as is the custom of some, but exhort one another, share with one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, C stands for consultation. Now, H, cherish, C-H, H stands for humility. And this must surely be the characteristic that perhaps above all characteristics was prominent in the life of King David. As I said, he was a king. but he chose to consult with a prophet. And what a contrast from Saul. Do you remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, where Saul can't wait for Samuel the prophet to come, so he takes upon himself, without divine authority, the priestly function of sacrifice. And Samuel says that the Lord has taken the kingdom from Saul rather than establishing it, and has given it to another, and it's a reference to David, a man after his own heart. We can see that confirmed to us in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, picking up the same bit. But what a contrast! Whereas Saul didn't bother to consult, wasn't humble enough to wait for the prophet David about something that, on one view, he might have had authority to do, but it wasn't a prohibited thing in the way of offering sacrifice, but David was humble enough, no king, to consult. We see, even with David's sins, a consciousness of who he is. So, in that wonderful Psalm 51, verse 7, the sacrifices that God will not refuse are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. How often do believers get too preoccupied with their own prosperity, their own family affairs, their own careers and business interests, or what have you, their sport, their recreation, and the things of God are put, dare I say, on the back burner. But not so with David. Though I dwell in the house of cedar, and the ark of God dwells in curtains. What was David's prime concern? It was for the well-being, if I can use that without belittling the Almighty, of the Lord God. It was the promotion of the things of God. We know that his heart was right, for in 1 Kings 8:18, Solomon tells us that the Lord said to David, whereas it was in thine heart to build me a house, thou didst well. So we know that God approved of what David wanted to do, but not the timing of it. Now, this has been a long-standing thing with David. You might remember from, I assume that last week, you would have been considering 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we would have talked about the ark coming into Jerusalem, to Zion, to the city of David. And in Psalm 132, verses 4 and 5, David says, I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. So first of all, he wanted to find a place for the ark. I mean, having found the place, Jerusalem, he wanted to find a permanent structure for it to dwell in. Now, in some measure, we see something of the Lord Jesus teaching us the same priorities. Think about where he drove out the money changers from the temple. And in John chapter 2, verse 17, we read, the zeal of thine house hath consumed me, hath eaten me up, in the King James. The Lord Jesus, above all people, was concerned with the things of God. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And what we can learn from this is, again, in the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. C-H-E-R. R stands for responsiveness. Up to verse 16, we have the vision to Nathan and the communication of that to David. And then in verse 17, how does David react? He says, verse 18, then went King David in before the Lord and sat before the Lord. And he said, What am I, O Lord God? And what is thy house that thou hast brought me hitherto? But David doesn't sort of reach for the champagne and start popping corks and say, that sounds particularly good news to me. He responds to God. He goes in before the Lord and communes with his God. And you see that coming out very often in the Psalms of David. This revelation from God and David responding to it. Fourth example, Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, here's your response. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. You know, as we respond to God, it's like a closer and closer walk with him, because James tells us in chapter 4, draw nigh to God, and wonder of wonders, he will draw nigh to you. Note that David was obedient. It wasn't just that he went in and prayed about it. He also obeyed the Lord God. And there again we see a marked contrast from Saul, to whom Samuel said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15. But the king here, David, obeys. He could have purported to buck the system and say, well, I'm going to do it anyway, Lord. And Matthew Henry, the great commentator, points out that had he done so, perhaps the Book of Psalms might have been incomplete. Henry says that the work that God had David doing, apart from subduing his enemies, and at this point he has rest all around him, is to write Psalms of which we are the inheritors. And that reminds me of our obligation, as every man has received the gift, so let him minister it as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And can I finally point out that this again shows the humility of King David, and I'm reminded of the words of Micah in chapter 6 and verse 8. He has chosen, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, C-H-E-R-I, what does I stand for? Well, I stands for insignificance. David had a sense of his insignificance. Who am I? What is my house? But you've done this. Look at verse 18 again. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 7, we're told that then you know the passage well, that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. But before the Spirit of the Lord, when he blows upon it, surely the people is grass. Insignificant, or perhaps more graphically put by Isaiah a little later in the same chapter, verse 22. God sits on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers before him. Insignificant. 1 Peter chapter 5 reminds us that we should humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, or beneath the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us by grace in due time. C-H-E-R-I-S. What does S stand for? S stands for the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And if we look at verses 22 and 26, we could do worse than just read those verses again. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, For there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And verse number 26. And let thy name be glorified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. You see, David's primary aim isn't that David's name be magnified, but that God's name be magnified. David always sees himself as subsidiary. He wants the Lord's name to be magnified. C-H-T-R-I-S-H. And we've already had one H, that was humility. Well, now here's the remaining one, hope. David was a man of hope. He stood at the crossroads in Israel's history, and he had a sense of the historic occasion that was being unfolded before him, of the big picture. He wasn't just concerned about personal issues, he was concerned about the lineage, he was concerned about the nation, and he was concerned about his God. And he was a man of hope. Thou hast spoken to thy servant of his house for a good while, for a great while to come. David is intent on seeing God unveiling and fulfilling his purposes. And you know probably where I'm heading is Romans chapter 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us.